You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, series 4, episode 13 tonight, and I'm joined by my co-host Ethan Fitzpatrick. Fitzy, we were having a bit of a rotation job over the last couple of weeks, but we've gone for a bit of stability this week. We'll get you on for your second appearance on the show. How are you keeping?
Yeah, not doing too bad, Burko. Yeah, you had a few other guests on, probably mustn't have been up to scratch seeing as you rang me again, but sure, we'll see what we can do tonight.
I seem to remember you finishing quite low down in a Twitter poll there recently on who was the best recent co-host, so I'm not too sure about that, but look, we've got...
Wouldn't believe any of them polls. We're not getting started on fake news against Fairway, right? We have to try and get a bit of a format to this one.
The polls got it wrong in 2016, they might have got it wrong again here. But look, we've got loads to touch on tonight. I better tell you about the interviews first of all. We've got four interviews for you tonight. We're going to be hearing from Tim Clancy, the Drogheda manager, after their 1-1 draw with Longford on Saturday night. We're going to hear from the Shells boss, Ian Morris, and we're going to hear from the Wexford manager, Brian O'Sullivan, so a bit of a manager special tonight. And we've got one legend of the league joining us as well. That will be Raf Crataro. So looking forward to those four interviews. But we're going to start with the first division this week, Fitzy, because I think it's fair to say the first division is stealing the show at the minute. It's such a competitive division. Anyone could win it. And we'll start with Cabinteely 1, Athlone 1. The wobble continues for Cabinteely, despite the fact that they picked up a point here to, I suppose, stop the rot. But they would have been looking for all three against an Athlone side who haven't won yet this season.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that Cabo have a bit of a wobble, because I think I remember being on the show there recently enough and I said Cabo would fade away, and I think you were speechless, Burke. It's probably the first time I've ever seen you speechless. You didn't know what to say to me at all. And then I tried to say that Athlone were getting stronger and that they'll pick up a few points along the way, and you were completely baffled at that as well. So I don't know if that's a good call by me. I'm sure I had a few clangers as well. But yeah, look, Cabinteely, I always thought they were going to fade away a little bit, as you already alluded to there, like the division is still wide open, but yeah, it's a bit of a rocky patch for Cabo. Great point for Athlone though.
Yeah, very much so. And whatever I said about Cabinteely, I definitely said on the show a couple of weeks ago Athlone weren't the worst version of Athlone that I've ever seen, and there was a few decent players in there, and Manning is the one I keep harping on about every week on the show, but for me he definitely won't be with Athlone next year. Athlone fans mightn't like to hear me say that, but he looks a really, really good talent. He got the opening goal in this one after 27, and Christian Latifa got an equaliser for Cabo after 29. But they're still in the mix, Fitzy, Cabinteely.
Oh, definitely. Oh no, like, I'm not writing them off. It's anyone's. Like, you could look down as far as Galway there in the table and say if they strung two or three wins together, like with the season being so short, that they'd be right up top. So like, you couldn't rule anyone out at this stage still. And I think there's great excitement in the first division. It's probably a huge pity fans aren't allowed into the games, because all the games are just so tight and there's been some great results. Like,
yeah, obviously there'll be a small number let in I think from this weekend, so it's great for those. But I think a lot of people are still going to have to stick with streams for the minute, unfortunately. Just on that loan, they're at home to Cove next. Cove took that hammering off UCD. We're going to speak about that in a minute, but a good chance for Athlone maybe to string together a couple of results. Now, Cove beaten 6-0 by UCD. Cove come into the game off the win, off the back of four straight wins, but this UCD team, they're blowing me away at the minute. We thought that it was going to be a transition year for UCD, but they've found their feet very, very quickly, and the three goal scorers on the night, they've been key this year. Maddie Whelan and Liam Kerrigan. There was an own goal in there amongst all of it. John Kavanagh sent off for Cove. So that wouldn't have helped their cause. But what a result for UCD. No team's going to want to face them at the moment.
Yeah, like, big result, all right. I suppose Cove were very unfortunate there, given away the own goal, and then not long after then the red card as well. You're down to 10, you're a goal down, you know. Like, but like, we've seen flurries from that UCD team. Like, they can pick a team apart, they can get the ball down, play around with it. I suppose it's just with any of the teams now, it's consistency. And if they can, as you said, go on a bit of a run now for a couple of games, it's their league. Like, it's so tight. Like, if anyone can get a bit of consistency here, but like, UCD are going to take huge strides from that. Like, 6-0 is a massive result.
Yeah, off the back of that 8-0 win against Wexford not so long ago. Maddie, he's the top scorer in the division now with 10 goals. Whelan's just behind him on 8, and Kerrigan chipping in with goals here and there. So loads of goals in that UCD team. They're not conceding either. For me, they have every chance of winning this league.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well, like, because they're not relying on one player to chip in with goals. It's a real team effort there, and there's a lot of lads getting their name on the score sheet. Like, so just, for example, like some other teams are kind of relying on the same each week, like, you know, whereas UCD are getting them from all over the park.
Yeah, but even as you said, other teams relying on one man at times. If you look at Longford, their top scorers this season in the division is Rob Manley with 4, and he's got 3 of those 4 in recent weeks, and Sam Verdon, who's out injured at the minute, he's 4. So Longford's struggling for a real talisman. Maybe other players not chipping in as much as they should, whereas I've already said you've got 18 goals there between Maddie and Whelan, so that's a huge advantage for UCD.
It'd be huge to see if they could see the season out now, or even do a little bit of a run in the playoff.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. All right, Wexford won, Bray 3. Wexford led going into the final 10 minutes, but then a penalty from Gary Shaw and a couple more goals from Bray in the closing minutes. The goals came on 86, 87 and 93. It has shades of the Longford game, this one, I suppose, Fitzy, where Wexford were 1-1 going into the final 10 and they were pushing for a winner. And in the end, they've actually got caught out and conceded a couple of late goals. And that's been the story of Wexford in recent weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah, if you're a Wexford fan here, you'd be absolutely pulling your hair out. They had a great chance before it even went 1-0 up. Probably going to butcher a few names again tonight, but I think it was Yusuf was played through on goal, and he was 1-on-1 with the keeper, and he just absolutely booted it into next week. I don't know if the ball's probably still knocked down yet. But then the goal that they did get, they went 1-0 up. It was a great little team build-up. You know, a couple of little bit of passing here, and a great finish by Fitzsimons. But like 1-0 up, 5 minutes to go, you're just thinking, see it out, like. And then to give away the penalty, you're like, all right, fair enough, right, we'll share the spoils. But to let in another 2 in the dying minutes of the game, like, you'd be so frustrated. Like,
yeah, we're going to hear from their manager, Brian O'Sullivan, towards the end of the show tonight. But Fitzsimons on the score sheet, he's a young man that had time with Longford. He's one that probably you would have liked to have seen stay at the club, but he's gone elsewhere for first-team football. And I know we highlighted already this year, but that's kind of what Wexford have been about. So there are positives there, despite some of the poor results in recent weeks.
Yeah, it was probably just a lack of inexperience, really, just to see it out. Like, the penalty, it was a penalty, but you have to give credit to Bray. They go and score the penalty, and they put a serious cross into the box then from the right wing, and it's a good header to go 2-1 up, and you're thinking, momentum, Bray. And then, look, the third goal, it was a shot from distance, and keeper just couldn't get to it, but like, it was game over when they went 2-1, really, you know?
Yeah, and you would have heard me say it on last week's show that this was a game Bray could not afford to slip up in, because they dropped points against the likes of Wexford in that loan last year, and it was costly in the end in terms of missing out on the playoffs. They're up there now. They're top of the table. They're looking for a title, never mind the playoffs. And if they had slipped up here, this would have been a huge dent. So good character in the end from the lads to dig out that result.
Yeah, but I think Wexford can take a few positives from it as well. Like, up until maybe the 85th, 86th minute. But like, they had some great play, some good build-up play. There's a few lads there probably just need a bit more experience. Keeper pulled off a few great saves to keep it at 1-0 for Wexford. But look, I think Bray just had the experience on the night. Probably the few lads that probably played Premier Division ball in the Bray team, you know, just got them across the line.
Yeah, Shaw from the penalty spot there, and obviously it had to be put away, and he's done that. So again, Shaw, he's stepping up for them this year. Galway, they're on a bit of a bounce at the moment after the appointment of John Caulfield. A 2-1 win over Shamrock Rovers second side, and I'm sure you've seen it, Shane Duggan, an absolute screamer, goal of the season, no doubt about it. Good result for Galway. They continue to creep towards those playoff positions.
Great strike, but what were Rovers be at all? They were trying to play it out from the back, invited the Galway team onto them. I think the keeper passes it to the centre half. He's inside the box. Centre half just rolls it back to him, and then the keeper tries to kick it along. Then Galway have already pushed up. He completely scuffs it, and it just dropped to Duggan there. Savage goal, great strike, but like, it just pops up lovely for him. He hits it, and in it goes.
Yeah. Interesting, you should point out there that Rovers, they played themselves into trouble, because they did that against Longford last week as well for the opening goal for Rob Manley, trying to play it in around their own box. They get caught out and Manley puts it away. So obviously they're a very young side, but they need to cut out those errors.
Maybe look, just these development teams, that's the way they want to play out from the back, you know, get a bit of experience. I don't know, it's just it's bonkers. Like, they were just inviting Galway onto them, but then look, it was a good result for Galway, but you'd be thinking 1-0 up that they'd push on for it, and I think Rovers got the equaliser then.
How much did James Donnelly pay you to throw in the word development line there, development team?
a couple of season tickets to get me into the ground whenever we're allowed back.
Very good. Let's move on to speak about Longford. 1-1 draw against Drogheda. I know you had to stick to the stream yourself for this one. Obviously, I was on commentary. Longford in the first half, really, really dominant. Should have been more up at the break. And I said that to the lads in the gantry. I said, as good as we've been in that first half, the fact they're only one up really worries me, because Drogheda had shown a lot of threat through set pieces, particularly through Hugh Douglas in the first half. But when we seen Chris Lyons going off at halftime, I said on commentary, you know, we're kind of feeling positive about that. Obviously, we hope it's not an injury or anything, but for him to be going off is a big boost for Longford, because he's their main man. He could have had a hat-trick when the teams met earlier on in the season. He had an off night, but you were probably fancying to put that right the other night down in Bishopsgate. But Adeyemo comes off the bench, and he absolutely runs the show up there for Drogheda. The first time I've really seen him in the flesh, but really quick, really physical, and took his goal well. Drogheda were on top in the second half. A draw was a fair result.
Well, it's news to me anyway, because unfortunately I was away, so I only got to see the first half on the stream. I agree with you said there, the first half, like, Manly takes his goal. He probably has just as good a chance maybe a couple of minutes later to put Town 2-0 up, and you're saying happy days. But I only seen the first half. I thought Longford played well. Thought this could be a great chance for Longford to beat Drogheda, get 6 points off them this season. And then I was just on the live score for the second half, and the next thing the notification came in, it was 1-1. A bit disappointed, I suppose, from their reaction, like yourself there, saying how strong we were and stuff. But if he had offered me 4 points out of six off Drogheda at the start of the season, like, I would have took your arm off.
Yeah, very much so, and that was something we said after the game as well. But from a Longford point of view, they're not putting together 90-minute performances yet. Obviously, this system they're playing three at the back is new, and that 45 was the best Longford had played this season for me. So there's signs that they're getting used to that system, but it's really important now that Longford start piecing together 90-minute performances.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it was, as I said, I've only seen the first half, but, like, geez, it was a new Longford side, nearly, the way they were playing. They had a bit of tenacity about them, you know, they were a bit of urgency. They created a couple of good chances. Obviously, Manly took one. I was probably, if he took the second as well, you're probably saying, right, that's game over. But, look, it was an encouraging performance, first half and out from Longford. Whether they can keep this form now, and as you said, build it into a 90-minute block, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from Drogheda boss Tim Clancy now off the back of that result down in Bishopsgate against Longford the other night. I'm on the pitch here with Tim Clancy, Drogheda manager, after a 1-1 draw against Longford. Tim, I think it's fair to say Longford probably on top in the first half. Second half, though, Drogheda probably the dominant side. Do you feel a draw was a fair result, or did you leave 2 points behind tonight?
No, I certainly didn't leave 2 points behind, sure. Longford have beaten us four games on the spin now, so it's a very difficult place, I think. There's a lot of difficult games left around the end of the season, and this was certainly one of them. Really disappointed in the goal we conceded. It's another individual error that it's just nothing you can't allow for it. Like, it's just these things happen. Ball slips underneath someone's foot, or we're making mistakes and we're giving teams head starts. And happened against Cabin Teely. We gave away a goal we shouldn't have. And on Monday, we were 1-0 down and we came back. And it happened against Cove and we lost the game 1-0 as well. And at long, we conceded a few poor goals as well to give them goals. So we have to try and, if we've any chance of getting promoted, nipping them in the bud for the last seven games. But in tonight's game, it was very much so. First half, I thought Longford had long spells and looked very dangerous without really creating too much. We created very little in the first half as well. I think we won off the line from a corner and whatnot. But we changed it a little bit and went with a different formation and tried to get a bit closer to them in the second half. Then I suppose you'd say probably in game we might have shaved it, but we had to deal with a hell of a lot of corners, and we dealt with them in the end, and Dave made one or two saves. But and then again, we probably had a couple of chances ourselves to maybe nick it, but I think probably a draw is a fair result.
Yeah, as you said, Longford didn't create an awful lot after the goal, but there was one save in particular from your keeper where Manley gets in behind almost identically like he did for the goal, and your keeper stands up well, saves it with his legs. He's been a great find, that young man, because I know you brought Tracy in. He suffered that awful injury in pre-season against Dundalk, and that goalkeeper you've brought in, he's stood up really well to the test.
Yeah, again, Dave came in. We have Luca there from last year, who was excellent, who had an ankle injury in pre-season, and then he hurt his foot in his foot in pre-season. He hurt his shoulder then, just when we got back in after the lockdown. And as you said there, Ross obviously came in, and he hurt his shoulder up and collarbone up in Dundalk. And David came in as one of the three keepers and sat down with all of them and says, whoever does well and if they get in and do well, they'd stay in the team. And Dave's still only 18 and he's very, very good, and he's got all the attributes to go on and be a very, very good keeper for us. And he's again another good couple of saves tonight. He'd won from a corner with a great save of his leg. He'd a good save with one hand from Aidan Irvine from a long distance shot. And as you said, the other chance he had was the low one at his foot, and he made a great save. So we're pleased with David. Pleased all round. It was a good response to go 1-0 down and to come back and get a goal early in the second half. And I think it was good to see both teams actually tried to go on to win the game. Mm-hmm. Even in the 94th minute, we've had a great chance with Jimmy getting in behind, and Jordan made a great run across the front. And if Jimmy rolls along the floor, he might have had a really good chance to win the game late on. But I think Darren and myself will both be happy with a draw.
Yeah, and I suppose coming in here off the back of a 5-1 win against Cabin Teely, it's not been a bad week for your team.
Yeah, we lost 1-0 last week to Cove, so that was disappointing. Again, it was another game that the one chance we actually gave them, they took a brilliant finish, brilliant touch, brilliant finish, and we missed a penalty in that game and a couple of other chances they possibly could have got a couple of wins, or a couple of goals. But listen, it is what it is. We now have 7 games left, and it's very much a sprint.
Not sure, have you seen the other result tonight? 6-0. Yeah. Like as you said, they beat you a couple of weeks ago, and they were in that a real good vein of form until tonight. It's an absolutely mental division at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, it's weird. It's games up and down, and the first game we played, first round of games, just before the last one before the break, was against UCD, and we won 5-1. So we certainly know it'll be a different game coming next Friday. And the last two games, they scored 14 and conceded none. So it's huge conference for them, and obviously a big swing in their goal difference as well. And again, it's going to be another tight game, and I'm sure that all the other teams in the league will be looking at it, hoping that it'll probably be a draw.
Final question. I think the first division, it's fair to say, is stealing the show this year. It's so competitive. Anyone could win it. Anyone could go up. So it's great that clubs like Longford and Drogheda are streaming the games, and the fans, they can't be here, which is such a shame, because I think they would have loved that game tonight. It was really entertaining, but at least they can watch at home.
Yeah, that's it. It's difficult for fans, obviously, not being allowed in, and it's certainly difficult for the clubs as well with the financial restrictions from losing their main source of income in regards to the fans. And footfall's I think it's probably 80 or 90% of all League of Ireland clubs' income. So the sooner it can get back, the better. But again, you'll have to follow the guidelines of what's safe first and foremost, rather than financial decisions. But yeah, listen, it was a good game of football, and the fact that they can watch it on YouTube, or a lot of clubs are doing really good work in regards to streaming games, and at least it's some sort of second prize for them.
Thanks very much, Tim.
No bother.
For all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Moving on to the Premier Division review now, Fitzy, and we'll start with Bowes. They were defeated 2-0 against Waterford, exactly what Bowes didn't need off the back of that Dublin Derby defeat. They needed a reaction, they didn't get it. 2-0 win for Waterford. Ali Coote deflected goal, and Tyreek Wilson with a superb free kick to give Waterford a 2-0 lead going into the halftime break, and this is how it ended. And of course, John Sheridan's last game in charge.
Obviously, they have a couple of players they're after finding there that are just really gelled in very quick. It was a good strike by Coote. All right, it got deflected, took it away from the keeper. But that free kick by Wilson, absolute peach of a free. Keeper could do nothing. You're 2-0 up away from home, half-time, see it out, and that's what they done. You couldn't ask much more.
Yeah, from a Bowes point of view, and from a title race point of view, is that it done and dusted now? Do you give the title to Rovers?
Oh, look, it's hard to know.
Is it?
I think Rovers have the title at this stage, but I don't know if it'll be as big a gap as what it is. You know, if Bowes can find a little bit of form now, can maybe get 2 or 3 more wins, put the pressure on Rovers. But, like, it's definitely, like, the last couple of weeks, it's Rovers to lose, like, you know. But, like, it's an interesting one, Kieran, because I was kind of looking at it there the last week. And I was thinking, like a couple of years ago, the Rovers are looking for their manager out, and now he's got to say the FAI Cup and they're going to win the league this year. But like, is it a combination of the Rovers team progressing on, or is it more so the standard of the rest of the teams have declined?
I think you have to give Stephen Bradley credit for his recruitment. Maybe he's not played a full role in that. Maybe he has assistance in that. But either way, whatever system is in place at Rovers, it's clearly working. You remember a couple of years ago, they almost had this policy of bringing back all their players from England. You remember Damien Duff came back, Keith Fahey came back. There was other examples. None of them really shone, but they've brought back Jack Byrne. What a signing he's been. They've got Graham Burke back on loan. They've got loads of young up-and-coming talents. Ferrugia. They've got O'Neill in from UCD. I could go on all day. They've got talent all over the park. For me, without a doubt, the best squad in the division. The midfield in particular, very, very strong. And the one question mark we had at the start of the year, Aaron Green, can he be the main number nine for them? Well, he's doing it at the moment. Two goals against Cork at the weekend, and he's leading that line well. So Bradley kept faith with the player. Maybe he couldn't find a replacement or whatever, but he's kept Green happy. He's kept him ambitious, and he's scoring goals. And the system's working for Rovers. So whatever about the other teams, what they're doing, I don't think Rovers concern themselves with that. Their policy, their systems that they've got in place are working, and they're going to be rewarded this year.
Yeah, so I suppose I'm just looking at it from a point of view, like the last couple of years you've had, say, Rovers, Dundalk, Cork in the mix for the title, Bowles maybe pushing it a little bit as well, but like this year you're looking at it's Rovers title pretty much, and Bowles are behind them. But like, I don't know if Bowles haven't really had that experience over the last couple of years of a title race, be it the European spots or whatever, but I just don't know if they had that experience to kind of catch Rovers. And I think it's just a matter of time now, really, before they get it.
Yeah, well, obviously, Bowes, their goal now is going to be consolidating a European place for next season. And the issue they're going to have is keeping that squad together, and building on that squad is going to be very difficult when you're still a semi-professional outfit. Now, look, that they're in terms of the way they train and they're set up and everything, they're basically a professional side. But in terms of attracting players, it's always going to be that little bit harder. So if Dundalk keep going into a decline like they are at the moment, I mean, you could be looking at Rovers dominating for the next couple of years. Now, I know we always have these trends every couple of years where it looks like a side. It was Dundalk a few years ago. It was Cork before that. Go back to the days of Shells and Bowes that dominated. You always have these little spells, but there's definitely the potential there for Rovers domestically to be well on top over the next few years.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, it's they kind of just have to kick on now, and I think if they win the league this year and they keep most of the team they have, it's going to take a serious rebuild from any other team to reach the heights that Rovers are going to reach.
Yeah,
probably pains me to say that.
We'll touch on their win over Cork in a couple of moments, but final point on Bowes Waterford, John Sheridan out the door. Who comes in? I have a feeling they'll look to England again. That's the way Lee Power is operated. But for me, personally, I think you'd have to be absolutely stone mad not to at least give Vinnie Perth a call and see what his situation is.
Jeez, it's a massive show. Jeez, back in the league so quick. And I suppose, like Waterford are doing well this year. They're pushing. I think they're fourth in the table. So, like, if you brought Vinny in and he could re-energise that team, they're already picking up points. Like, they're, you know, he could be the final piece of the puzzle there, all right. But, jeez, I don't know if he'd take that job. You probably know him better than me.
No, all I'm not saying it's a possibility or anything like that. All I'm saying is I think you'd have to be mad not to at least pick up the phone and give him a ring and have a chat and see what the situation is. If it can't be done, it can't be done. Look elsewhere. But for me, they've got a lovely group of players there. Ali Coote, Smith, we've touched on Wilson, Sabawale at the back. They've got Murphy coming in now. Michael O'Connor still there as well. They've got a really good core group of players there. And if they can add to that and bring in someone with the mentality, the winning mentality of Vinnie Perth, I mean, that could really be a launch pad for Waterford going forward. Let's move on very quickly. We've spoken in depth on Rovers already, but Cork defeated 3-0. Look, it was expected, but they're now bottom of the table after Harps picked up a result against Derry at the weekend. What's your thoughts on Cork?
Sorry, where did you say they are in the table? look, I think I said it when I was on at the very start, is that Jesus, Cork looked like a team that are going to struggle this year and struggle to have. I was looking at it there the last week as well, and I think that was Fenn's 20th game in charge in the league for Cork, and they've only won four. A couple of them came at the end of last season. Like, it's just, I think if they weren't probably, there probably is financial constraints down there, but I think if this was any other year, he'd be long gone.
Yeah, and I did put it to John O'Sullivan and to a couple of Cork fans last week and on previous shows, because in fairness, they're better positioned to speak about it than us, what their thoughts are on the manager. But I think, as you touched on, financial constraints and expectations are so, so low at Cork, which is unbelievable given the size of the club. But before the season even started, they kind of accepted they'd be in this position. So they're just going to row in behind the team now and get behind them best they can. But it's a dark situation for them at the moment.
Oh, it's brutal. It's just like you're looking at a team like with such, as you said, high expectations. But like, obviously they're in a rebuild. So like, you're coming into the start of the season, you're probably thinking, right, look, we've a new manager. They brought him in early at the end of last year, so yeah, we had time to see what players were around. He brought in his signings. You're thinking, all right, look, if maybe we could finish mid-table this year, you know, get the players gelled in, and then next year we could push maybe for a European spot or a title or a trophy or whatever. But you're looking at just completely writing this year off.
Yeah, I just wonder, when he took that job, did he know the situation was as dark as it was? I can't, look, Cork, they're a bigger club than Longford, to be fair, but for me, I can't understand why you'd leave a Longford team where you have a stable job, you're always going to have a little bit of financial backing in terms of bringing players in the first division, you're always chasing promotion. Good loyal fan base. I mean, he was loved by the Longford fans when he was there, Neil Fenn. But
I can understand why he left. Like, look, Cork is a bigger club than Longford. Like Premier Division football, you know, like he's probably laid a bit of what, you know, like Stephen Kenny's opened the doors there. You know, if he got Cork back up firing, you know, he could get bigger jobs elsewhere. You know, things like that. But like, just to come in, and it just looks completely unorganised. Like, it's just a shadow of what we've seen at Longford. Like, and you have to remember, like, we didn't really win much when he was in charge at Longford, but like, you were playing a nice style of football. But I just think they're in serious bother. And like, if you're a first division fan, you're probably hoping that they'll pick up a few points and they'll be in the playoffs, because you'd obviously not like to play Harps. They'll just kick you to death. But like, I'd have no fear going up against that Cork team in a playoff, and I don't think any other first division fan would either.
Yeah, and I think that says it all about where they are right now. Pats nil, Sligo nil. I know you listened to last week's show. Gary feels maybe Stephen O'Donnell should be under a bit more pressure. Pats underperforming this year. Difficult to know what's happening at Pats at the moment. They haven't really kicked on for all the investment they've had.
Yeah, I suppose, it's first time in charge there, and they haven't really kicked on, as you said, but like, a lot of teams are in a similar position as well. Obviously, I think they're down the lower end of the table, but I think I was looking at it there, if they get maybe two wins, that could bring them right back up into the mix for Europe, like, you know, so I wouldn't write Pats off just yet. Obviously, Sligo in a, probably just a little bit higher up in the table as well, similar enough position, they're fighting for Europe as well. Probably just haven't hit the heights, either team just haven't hit the heights that we've seen them hit before. But I think that could be said just for a lot of the teams this year, where, be it the restructure of the league, the long delays there, you know, it's, players just doesn't seem to have that bite that it had in previous years, and it's kind of hard to put it down to as what's causing that, you know.
Yeah, but I think if you look at Sligo, obviously they were in trouble at the start. I mean, we were talking about them in the same breath as Cork not so long ago, and then they made a couple of tweaks, a couple of players came in, and you can see there's an upward curve there at Sligo. Whereas if you look at Pats, we were looking at them to be maybe European challengers this year, and they've always hovered around mid-table, and now they're sliding down slowly. Now, as you said, they're only a couple of points off getting back in towards the European mix, but there seems to be more of an upward curve about Sligo than there does be at Pats at the minute. And you were touching on Neil Fenn having the benefit of coming in towards the end of last year and getting a look at the players in a few competitive games and then deciding who he wants to keep and who he doesn't. Stephen O'Donnell had that same benefit as well. This is obviously his first full season, but you would like to see a little bit more from St. Pat's.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think they need to kick on. I don't think he'll be under any pressure at all. I think they've kind of bought into a project up there that, you know, it's a rebuild or whatever. But just what you said there on Sligo, like the fact that we were saying, oh yeah, putting Sligo in the same bracket as Cork. But I think what's obviously shown is that Sligo have the quality. They were underperforming at the start of the season, but they had quality players, whereas Cork underperformed, but I don't, looking back at it now, maybe they didn't underperform, maybe they just performed to the level of the calibre that they had.
Yeah, very, very fair point. Another 0-0 draw, unfortunately, this weekend was Harps against Derry. I watched this one on Watch LOI, and I think Finn Harps can be disappointed not to have come away with all three.
Yeah, geez, I was watching this on Watch LOI as well, and I thought there was something wrong with my laptop. And then I had it on the phone. The pitch in Ballybuffet, I don't know if they had a tractor going around it all week or what the story was going on, but it was absolutely dire.
Yeah.
Geez, you wouldn't see it in Saturday League. No. I was so surprised. Like, I've been up there a few times, and I know there's a bit of banter there with a rivalry with Harps or whatever, but geez, I it was reminding me nearly of Cabin Teely's pitch from a couple of seasons ago when the rugby crowd were playing on it. But look, on the game itself, Jesus, Harps are probably be annoyed that they didn't pick up all 3 points. They were definitely on top. You wouldn't think that was a Derry City team. They didn't really offer much. I don't think I seen them have a shot on target even. But Harps had one blocked off the line with a couple of good chances, probably 2 points left behind.
Yeah, just going back to what you said about the pitch, obviously the sun didn't do it any favours the way it was shining down on it.
It was very poor.
Yeah, let me finish my sentence. It didn't do it any favours, what I'm saying, in terms of the cameras. You could see every little divot on it, but I'd after been watching the early kickoff in the Premier League in England, obviously, and the parents were sitting in watching it with me, and then I put the stream on, and within 2 seconds of me loading the stream up on the television, the first thing they said was, Jesus, look at that pitch. And that was disappointing for me, because obviously they're not really League of Ireland fans as such, but you're always trying to showcase the product when it is on. You can say, oh, look, this is a great game or whatever. I know the outlet lad does always love to see Robbie Benson doing well, being a Westmead man, so I'd always play on that as well. But the first thing they said was, God, look at the state of that pitch. So that was really, really disappointing from a League of Ireland product point of view. But we've kind of touched on Harps there, disappointed not to pick up the 3 points. Derry, another side, really underperforming at the minute.
Yeah, it's just, look, it's, don't want to be harping on about the same thing over and over again, but yeah, they just don't seem to have it this year. They're mid-table, but they don't seem like they have another gear, or they just can't find that extra gear. You'd be looking at that fixture the last couple of years, you'd be thinking, oh, like, it's a derby or whatever, but you'd be thinking Derry might be able to edge it, they'd have that bit of spark, they'd have that bit of quality. But on the night, the Harps outplayed them. Like, I know it was a draw, but like, it was all Finn Harps from start to finish.
Yeah, maybe more on Derry in future shows. We'll see how they got on at the weekend. Dundalk 3, Shelburne 2. Finally, some goals to speak about. Crazy game, this one. It was live on Air Sport, and it was really, really enjoyable stuff.
In Filippo, we trust.
I'm not sure defensively too many trust in him. Shells, they created plenty against Dundalk, and only for a late missed header from Carl Shepherd, it probably could have been 3-3 on the night. Dundalk, they're out in Andorra at the moment ahead of that game on Thursday. They're going to have to defend a lot better if they want to progress in Europe.
Yeah, it was. This is the sort of game that you want on telly, and I was lucky. Probably pity it wasn't on RT, more people would have had access to it, but what a cracking game from a neutral point of view. I suppose you probably had your Dundalk hat on you, but before a ball was even kicked, I was absolutely delighted to see. I know, I hope he doesn't listen, maybe he does, but Rogers dropped out of goals. I think Gary Riley on here a few weeks ago, and me and him have been having debates with you about Rogers and goals till the cows come home at this stage now, saying how we wouldn't rate him and they need to get a new keeper in. But look, seems like the new manager isn't afraid to make a few hard calls.
Not having that about Rogers at all. I know he made some mistakes in the European games, but for me, I've seen McCary in action in cup games and the like in recent years, and for me, he's not as good as Gary Rogers. So look, if Dundalk's management team want to go in and bring in a new goalkeeper that they feel is better than what they have, fair enough, then that number one jersey's up for grabs. But changing the keeper for the sake of it, that's not going to do you any favours, and it's no surprise they conceded a couple of goals.
The goals they conceded, the first one was a header. It was a great ball. It was a free out in the edge of the pitch there, and great delivery in header. Like, there's not really much a keeper could do about that. It was a great ball in, and second one was a penalty. Like, so you're up against it there, but look, it was a savage game. There was some serious goals. You have Duffy's with an absolute screamer a couple of minutes into the game. Then you have a classic Gartland popping up for a header. Then you have the header for Shells as well. And then, of course, was it Sloggett got the third?
Yeah, Sloggett.
With another long-range effort.
Yeah, absolute rocket from Sloggett. We haven't seen enough of that from him since he signed for Dundalk, because he is a really quality player. But just going back again to the goalkeeping situation, I know you mentioned the first one was a set piece, but it's the goalkeeper's job to organise his penalty area for a set piece. And I thought Dundalk looked really, really, really vulnerable from set pieces and crosses the other night.
I don't know. I think you're nitpicking there now just because you're a big Rodgers fan. But I think the goal that Shells, it was an unbelievable ball into the box. I don't think it mattered who was there. It was just a savage cross in by I think it was Poynton. That game, complete chalk and cheese between the Harps and Derry one. It was a great advertisement for League of Ireland. Glad it was on telly.
Yeah, and I'm glad you pointed out the assist there from Poynton. Really good cross from him from the free kick, and he scored the penalty as well against his former club. He's been playing right back for them, and he seems to have found and made that position his own in recent weeks. He was really good against Rovers. Traditionally, you would have had him more as a midfielder, but I did see him play, I remember, a couple of years ago in the President's Cup against Cork in Oriel at right back for Dundalk, and I thought he was brilliant that night. So maybe going forward, that's a position he can make his own.
Yeah, definitely. Look, he put in a great performance. He's had a couple of good performances. I think he was criticised a bit for the Duffy goal. Look, it was a screamer and everything, but I think commentators were saying maybe he should have closed him down, not giving him enough space with what we've seen in the past that Duffy could do. But look, I think that was a bit harsh. It was a long range effort, but
I think there was two or three players there that kind of passed Duffy on to each other, and no one ended up picking him up in the end.
Yeah, look, it was encouraging signs from Shells. Anytime you're first year up, you're looking just to avoid a relegation and build. But Shells seem to have gone that little bit extra from other teams, and I think if they can pick up another couple of points, they could be a bit of a dark horse for Europe. I'm not saying they'll get it. I'm just saying they could be a bit of a dark horse.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from their manager now. Ian Morris joins us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Ian Morris joins me on the line now. Ian, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Not too bad. You're busy preparing for the weekend.
Yeah, just going through everything Finn Harps and obviously everything from ourselves and trying to prepare as best we can. Obviously, Finn Harps will have a couple of boys back from suspension, so they'll be strong. They'll be stronger as well. They've had a lot of players back from injury recently as well, so they'll be a big, tough side Saturday. Big game.
Yeah, it's such a congested league table at the moment in what is obviously a shortened season, so every game has huge implications. But this one in particular, if you look at it, Shelburne, they're 4 points outside of the relegation places, but they're only 5 points outside of the top four. So a big chance to send out a statement of intent here and a home win against Harps.
Massively. The table can flip so much. Harps can come a point behind us, or we go 7 points ahead of them. So the size of the game is huge for us. It's arguably the biggest game of the year for us in terms of pressure and in terms of importance. So we're under no illusions of that, and there'll be two teams that they'll feel the exact same, that they can close back in to win touch and distance. So preparation and performance is key this week.
Yeah, you're without a win in five in the league. You've had a couple of draws, obviously that great result against Shamrock Rovers, but then you had the draw against Cork City, and I'm sure you feel your team left 2 points behind. Is it about turning those draws into wins now if you're trying to break that run and pull yourself up that table?
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting the terminology that you use. We're unbeaten against the league champions. Other than that, we were unbeaten in four games, so it's interesting the spin that you can put on performances and on form. So we're scoring in every game, and we're performing really well. Lady Luck has gone against us, unfortunately. So we're supremely confident. We're performing really well, and we're scoring goals. We're creating quite a lot of chances.
Just moving on to your goal difference, Ian. As you said, your team has been really well organised, haven't conceded a lot of goals, and you have been scoring in every game, but you've still got -3 in terms of the goal difference. Do you feel there's a lack of goals in your team at times?
It's been difficult for us. Obviously, we're a newly promoted team, and we probably haven't got the goals back from our forward players as we were expecting in the earlier games, that's starting to really change, and that's starting to really come at the minute. But like you said, the pressure in every game is massive, and we've not been beaten by more than one goal, I don't think, anyway. So games are really close. We're in every game. We're competing. And like, it's really important that you're scoring goals. If you won't score any goals, that would be a problem. But we're creating so many chances at the minute as well, that's really important for us. And it's really positive for us that we're flowing top end of the pitch and we're creating a lot. And the other end of the pitch, we've not really conceded a lot of goals where we've been carved open or we've been absolutely tortured at the bottom back end of the pitch. So right against Dundalk, they put two in the top corner from 20 plus yards. So it's not as if we were carved open and we're giving up a lot of really big chances around our box, you know.
Yeah, it was a crazy game that the other night, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Yeah, it was a tough game, and even in terms of the tempo of the game, like stats within the game, the distances, the transitions, we felt we had a couple of opportunities there that we could have pegged the back at 3-3. And look, for us to the newly promoted side going to the league champions and coming away disappointed, I think that's testament to how well the lads have been performing and the character within the group.
Yeah, 100%. It shows your team can create them chances. And I suppose the real chance that comes to my mind that you didn't take in the last few minutes was that header from Carroll Shepherd. So obviously you're hoping if you create them chances against Finn Harps and you're a little bit more clinical in front of goals, then there's no reason your team can't come away with the big 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. We're creating chances. We're well organised. We work really hard. And I think the lads are really in a good place as a group as well. So we're coming off, like I said, we've won defeat in our past 5 games. And that's good momentum. That's good positive. There's loads of positives for us to take. So we're going in to Saturday full of confidence. We'll be really prepared this week for Finn Harps. And it's going to be a really good game because, like we mentioned earlier in the conversation, that there's a lot on the line this weekend.
Yeah, look, a final question, I suppose, for a manager coming up from the First Division to the Premier. It's a great headache for you to have the amount of options you have off the bench there, because I know we've spoken about on the show in recent times, we've been a little bit surprised maybe not to see Jack Brady getting more game time. He's a great goalkeeper. You've got Dan O'Reilly there as well. You've got Fernandez and Kabi as well. You've got great options. You must be delighted, but obviously it does cause you a bit of a headache too.
Yeah, it does. It does, but it's the headaches that you want as a manager, because have the ability to change a game, go chase it, or whether you need to shore it up, you have to have them options available to you whatever way the game kind of pans out. So it's really important, and the player's not in the team because others are performing or because the team is performing as a whole. So the competition for places is huge, and the lads just need to keep on going. If you're not in the team and you're not performing well in training, or you're not good around the place, it makes it more difficult for me to back you and put you back in the team. So you have to perform every day in training, regardless of whether you're in the team or not, because there's lads jumping up a bit to take your jersey, and then if you're not in the team, then you need to be performing really well, so that if there is an option for us to put you in, or we decide that the game is more suited to your attributes, you have to be performing well and performing well at training or whatever else outside of the 90 minutes that you're available to be put back in.
Ian, brilliant stuff. Thanks very much for speaking to us, and best wishes for the remainder of the season.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by BarwinRacing.com. Check out our website for weekly League of Ireland previews, enhanced offers and double the odds first goal score matches, among other incentives, with a €30 free bet available to new customers. T's and C's apply. Barwon Racing, nobody does League of Ireland better.
Yeah, thanks to Ian Morris for joining us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Let's stick with the Premier for now, Fitzy, and we'll start with Derry against Pats. Funny, this fixture should be coming up at the weekend, considering we've just been speaking about how both of them are a little bit, they're blown cold at the moment. So big, big chance for the two sides to get an all-important win here.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose if either side picks up the 3 points, it could spur them on there, back up into them European spots that we've talked so much about. But hard one to call. I don't know. What are you going to go for yourself?
Draw written all over it. Not enough goals in either side. But obviously you've got Georgie Kelly in the Pat side, so they're capable of scoring goals. But going up to the Brandywell, tough ask. I think Derry despite the fact they've not been scoring a lot of goals, they're fairly well organised. They just need to find that creative spark somewhere, but I'm not sure they'll find it this weekend. I think this has a draw and maybe even a 0-0 written all over it.
I'll have to row in behind you on that one, so, because I might go to draw. Give it a draw.
Let's move on to Sligo against Bowes. Big one for both sides in the hunt of European football next season. Sligo with the home advantage. What's your feelings on this one?
I think Bowes could do a bouncing back, but I don't know. I think I suppose I have a little bit of a graph for Sligo, maybe, because I'm going to tip them for this one. I think Sligo have kind of impressed over the last couple of weeks, and going to give it to them here. I know, obviously, they weren't great against Pats there, but I think if Sligo win this one, they're right up in them European spots.
Jesus, we're in agreement on two things now. Yeah, I'm going to follow you there, Sligo, to beat Bowes for me.
Could be just a bit of a bad patch for Bowes. Yeah. If they get the win, they're going to spur on, but I think it's just Sligo probably have that little bit more to play for as well. Bowes are sitting comfortable enough there. You're looking at, if Bowes could pick up maybe three wins out of the remaining games, they'll get one of them European spots.
Cork against Dundalk, probably unlikely. We're hoping unlikely to go ahead on Sunday, because we're hoping Dundalk go through in Europe on Thursday night. But if this one does go ahead and Dundalk come into it off the back of a humiliating elimination against an Andorran side, would you give Cork any chance of capitalising and punishing Dundalk?
Definitely not.
It'd
be another Filippo masterclass.
So Dundalk win there if that game does take place.
Definitely.
Rovers against Waterford. Interesting one. By the way, this game is going to be free on Watch LOI. I think it's Monday night, this game. So that's a really, really good initiative from Watch LOI to try and get new fans involved in the league. And the game will be in Talla as well. And hopefully Rovers will be coming into this one off the back of a win against AC Milan. Before we speak Rovers Waterford, you're going to be watching that one, I'm sure, Thursday night. Really exciting for Rovers, just disappointing the fans can't be there.
Yeah, it would have been a huge spectacle if fans are allowed in. Look, it's unfortunate that they can't. Obviously, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, look, it's a one-off game, you don't know what could happen. But I don't think anybody would be shocked if Milan comfortably win but I just think it's like anything, you have a bit of a puncher's chance, is it?
Yeah, I'm fully expecting Rovers to give them a game. I'm not saying they'll knock them out or anything, but over one leg in Talla, AC Milan coming over, missing a few players. They might just be a little bit arrogant coming over. We don't know. I think Rovers will give them a very, very good game, and I'd love to see them to knock them out. It'd be absolutely brilliant for the league. I think they're over 20-1 for the win, Shamrock Rovers. But what about this league game against Waterford? That's the bread and butter for Rovers if they want to win the league title.
It'll be a great game. As you said there, I think it's free on Watch League of Ireland.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great to see them doing a little initiative like that, because it's definitely the game of the week anyway. Albeit the European games, but I don't know. It's very hard to call. I think I'm going to have to go with a draw here. I really like Waterford. The way they've been playing this year, the players they've had, we've mentioned them a few times, but they've found some great players there. I think I'm going to go with a draw. I'd say Rovers will be happy enough with that. Keeps the gap.
Yeah, Rovers' legs might be just a little bit tired as well after Europe. Waterford, I just wonder the effect of losing their manager, what it'll have. He didn't seem like the most likeable chap anyway, so maybe the Waterford players won't be too sad to see him go despite the great results he got in recent weeks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, as we kind of alluded to earlier there, who they'll bring in. But I don't think it'll have much effect on the results.
Yeah, I'm going to side with you there as well. I think Waterford might get something out of that game. Shells against Finn Harps. We're going to be hearing from Raf Cataro very, very shortly, but we heard from Ian Morris a little bit earlier on. This is a huge game for his side, because they're not too far above Finn Harps in the table. They'd obviously like to be at least comfortable mid-table in their first season back in the Premier, if not maybe looking up towards those European places. While Harps, they've got to be eyeing this one. I know Ian Morris kind of pointed out that those five games recently where they haven't picked up wins in the league weren't bad performances, and there was some good results overall against Shamrock Rovers and the like. But I mean, Harps have probably got to look at this one and think, if we could win here, we could really bury Cork.
Yeah, definitely. Even if Harps could pick up a point, because you're looking at Cork and you're wondering, where are they going to pick up points? This is a huge, as you said, huge opportunity for Harps. Shells have been playing, albeit I'll have to side remarks a bit, like Shells, they've been playing decent football in spells, you know. We probably mentioned goal scorers a few times as well, and where were they going to get the goals from? But I think this is one that Harps would have been eyeing up the last couple of weeks. They're after getting a draw against Derry. If they could kick on, if they could get a win here, huge. It puts them put them 3 points ahead of Cork. It'd be massive.
Yeah, it might be a little bit tougher for them though up in Talca. They won't be on the cabbage patch in Finn Park. So I think I'd have to side with the Shells win. I think really this game will come down to if Shells take their chances, they'll win it, because they've created loads of chances in recent games. They just haven't put them in the back of the net.
Well, we can stop being nice to each other now and agreeing with each other, because I think I'm going to go for a Harps win.
Big call. Let's hear from Finn Harps player Raf Crataro. Unfortunately, Raf was unable to come to the phone earlier on for that interview, so we've had to leave it for this week, but we'll get Raf again on in the future. Apologies for that, Finn Harps supporters. One more interview to come this evening, folks. We'll be hearing from Wexford boss Brian O'Sullivan ahead of their game away against Galway at the weekend. Moving on to the First Division now, Fitz. Athlone against Cove is where we'll start. We kind of touched on this earlier, but it's probably a good opportunity for Athlone to string together a little sequence of results for the first time in a while, given Cove are coming into this one off the back of that hammering last time against UCD.
Yeah, I think, I think this one, I'm probably going to go for a draw here, but Athlone will be looking to pick up a few points, maybe just get off the bottom of the table there. As you said, it's not the Athlone team we've seen over the last couple of years. They have that little bit of quality, but they just, positional-wise on the table, like, they'll be looking to build and try and get a bit higher up before the end of the season.
Yeah, if I was just looking at this game on paper, I'd probably just say I'd expect Cove to bounce back against an Athlone team who haven't won this season. But I know I tagged you in it the other day on Twitter. The match stats from their game against Cabinteely, they actually outplayed them, didn't they, Athlone? More possession, more shots, more everything, really. So they have got that little bit of quality, as you say.
Yeah, it's coming in little flourishes there, so it just depends on if they can take their chance. If Manning can bang in a goal or two, maybe, you know. But I think Cove are still solid. Like, we've seen what the results they've got this year. Like, they've taken teams, or they've taken points off some of the top teams in the division as well. So look, I think I'm just gonna have to jump on the fence for this one and go with a draw.
Yeah, Cove missing John Kavanagh, that leaves them a little bit vulnerable defensively, but I just don't know, do Athlone have the stomach to go and win a game? They're creating chances. We've seen them against Longford, they were on top for 15-20 minutes and they were given chances on a silver platter and they didn't put them away. I just don't know that they have that composure in front of goal, so I'm going to go with a draw there, but if Athlone can prove me wrong, I'd be delighted to see it. Bray against Longford, absolutely huge game at the Carlisle grounds. Can Longford get a big away win?
Oh, my nerves are shot already. I don't know. It's a very, very tough one to call here. If we've any aspiration of winning the league, it's a must win.
Yeah.
I don't think a draw is good enough.
No.
Look, I suppose probably after the game, if it is a draw, you're probably saying, "Oh, look, at least we didn't lose. It's a 6-pointer, blah blah blah." But no, like, from my point of view, I think this is a game you have to go out and win this. If you're looking to kick it on now in the First Division and winning the league and getting that promotion spot, this is it. You have to set your stall out and you have to win these big games.
I agree with you 100%. For me, if we're going to win the league, we're going to have to win our next two against Bray and against UCD to send out a message. I don't know if you've watched any of the new Spurs documentary, All In, but Mourinho's famous line, and that he likes to use quite a bit, is this is a team of nice guys. You need to be bastards if you're going to win. I just wonder, did a town have that steel in them? I'd love to see them go out and really, you know, thump Bray and prove that they have got the stomach to go and win a league title, but I'm not totally convinced yet. It's going to be down to them piecing together a 90-minute performance, because that's something we haven't seen yet this year.
Yeah, look, if they can be clinical on the night and take their chances, they have a good chance. But like the Bray game last year, earlier in the season, Longford looked at sixes and sevens at times,
yeah.
And it was predictable. Like before the game even starts, you're saying, "Oh, Gary Shaw's their threat in the air and stuff like that." And then for him to score a header, then, like, you know, it was very disappointing from a Longford point of view. So you'd be looking to say, "Look, we need to rectify these issues, and we need to put in a serious performance." And I just hope that Dara can get the team fired up for it, and we can get the 3 points, because if we do, you're, as you said, you have UCD the following week, and if you, Jesus, if you could pick up 6 points against Bray and UCD, you're well on the way. Like,
yeah, obviously one man that's come into the team since that disastrous night against Bray is Joe Gorman. He has been phenomenal for Longford. He's almost filling the position that Conor Kenna had last year. He looks really, really solid. Mick McDonald switched off the other night, I felt. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he was just caught positionally for that goal the other night against Drogheda. So again, that just comes down to Longford making mistakes and losing concentration at certain times, and you can't afford to do that if you're going to go and win a title. But hopefully...
Yeah, I think the point you made there about having... that bit of grit or that, like, we haven't really seen Longford kill off teams, you know, like, just we seem to, all right, fair enough, you have McKay wasn't it, coming off the bench, yeah, and getting the two against Wexford, but like, we've not, like, just take example, the draw of the game there, like, you're 1-0 up or whatever, like, if they got the second goal there, you're talking about seeing that game out, and I think that's what we've been missing this season, is that we've kind of gone 1-0 up, or we've sat back then maybe, or we've let teams have a dominating spell. And it'll just be, as you said, it'll be interesting to see now if we can piece a 90-minute performance together and just properly go at them.
Yeah, I know it's almost a catchphrase from you at this stage. Anytime we're chatting off air about a big game like this coming up for Longford, the one thing you always say down the years is, when was the last time Longford won a real crunch game?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to really go back through the records for that one, but yeah, I know I say that a lot. But like, it's true. Like if you look back at any, like, the one that always sticks out for me is this, going back a few years now. But remember that 1-0 against that lone beat us back in the Roddy Collins bandwagon day in Flanker.
Yeah,
like that. That just always sticks out in my mind. It was a real crunching game. We had been on top of the league for a while, I think, and we had a couple of half chances. Gary Shaw let me down that day.
Yeah.
and then like, if you look at any of the ones after that, like, you're talking like, when, like, I know we were only reminiscing about going up and playing Dundalk in the cup semi-final and stuff like that, but like, it's not so much that we haven't won a crunch game, it's just the performances. Like you'd be saying to yourself, I wouldn't be as worried if it was right. Over the last couple of years, we haven't won games that we needed to win, but we went in and we gave it a solid 90-minute performance, and you come out with your head held high and said, look, we left it all on the pitch. But it's just been the last couple of years, it's just always come down to a crunch game, and it just never seems to... We never seem to fall on the right side, you know?
Yeah, even the game they needed to win down in Wexford to have any chance of survival in 2016, and they just absolutely went out and chat the togs and were terrible that night. And I know yourself and a few supporters had a few words with Tony Cousins after the game. So, yeah, it's been historically in recent years, anyway, down the years, even trips up to Tolkien, the like, Longford have underperformed in big kind of title-deciding games and promotion games and that. So hopefully that'll change.
I don't want to turn this into a Longford Town podcast, so look, I'd say we'll move on, will we?
Yeah, we'll move on to the next one, UCD against Drogheda. What a game that is.
Yeah, that's going to be another huge game in the division. I suppose I'd probably watch it only the Bray Longford game is being streamed. It's going to be one that's going to set out the stall for the division this year. Drogheda, obviously, second, UCD third, a point behind them. Like, either team picks up 3 points here, and they have that little bit of a gap up and up. Both teams in great form as well.
Yeah, obviously, UCD scoring goals for fun, but they scored those big cricket scores against two of the sides that are towards the bottom. I don't think they'll get as much freedom and space against Drogheda. Yeah. They're a really well-oiled machine. I'd have to side with the Drogs here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to go for UCD. Look, it depends on the draw of the team. You said Lions went off injured there. If that's a bit of an injury concern for the next couple of games, that's a huge loss for Drogheda. He's always chipping in with goals. Look, I think UCD are gonna go for it. Like, putting six past Kovla is no easy feat. Like, so their confidence is going to be high. It's UCD for me.
I never said he went off injured. Fitz just shows you don't listen. Fake news, but obviously the performance.
He said he went off at half time.
He went off at half time, and what I said, we said on commentary, we were hoping that it wasn't an injury, but we were secretly delighted that he was going off because we thought it would boost Longford's chances. But Adeyemo came off the bench and was superb, so they have the option of maybe playing the two of them together against UCD. I don't know what they'll do, but.
Apologies there. I thought you said he went off injured. Go with UCD anyway. But alright, go on. Before anyone notices.
I'll go for a Drogs win there. Rovers 2 against Cabin Teely. Again, this isn't an easy one for Cabin Teely to try and get that winning streak back, is it?
No. Look, I suppose Rovers B have kind of, they've picked up a few points along the way. They're not the, you can see from the Galway game there, like, you know, Galway, it was a long throw in towards the end to get the second goal. But it could have easily been a draw on the night, like, you know. I suppose any of the teams in the division will be looking for, they'll be cheering on Rovers this week. Even though every other week they probably don't want them to do well, you know. But like, if Rovers could take a point or two off Cabo, I'm sure everyone else in the division will be smiling.
Yeah, it's just a shame you can't watch these games, because Rovers, they're one of, I think, only maybe two clubs that aren't streaming their games, which is really disappointing. But I think Rovers...
I think they were trying to stream the previous games there, and they're having big issues with it as well. But look, there's a lot of stuff online about this second string team and saying that Rovers fans will support it, blah, 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 and all this. But to be honest, I don't think the demand is there for people to watch it. Obviously, it's unfortunate from other clubs' point of views when you have to go up to Tala and play them that you can't watch the game. But I think simply from probably a financial point of view, they're probably pumping enough money into it already as is. They're not going to bother streaming the second string, like, you know.
Yeah, but there's other clubs that have allowed the away team to come up and do the stream for their own fans. So I don't know why Rovers couldn't have done that as well. It's just
maybe there was an issue with whoever actually owned the stadium. It might have been a Rovers issue.
Right, Fitz, we'll leave that there. But what I did want to say on Rovers before you took off on your own tangent there again, I think they've been playing really well this season in defeat. I think they're actually due a win somewhere along the line, and I think this is going to be the game for them. I think Rovers 2 will beat Cabin Teely.
I'd be delighted if they got a win. Even if they got a draw, I'd be absolutely delighted, because if Longford could just say, worst case scenario, Longford don't pick up any points, then at least Cabin Teely haven't gained on the mitre, you know?
Yeah. Final game for us this week, Galway against Wexford. We're going to be hearing from Brian O'Sullivan in a moment, but you'd probably be looking towards Galway here to keep that winning momentum going under John Caulfield, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Galway look like they're on a bit of a run now, a bit of a resurgence there. Maybe finally Project DNA is paying off for them. It just took a new manager. I think I'd have to go with Galway on the night. Wexford have impressed. They've been playing good football. They probably just lack that quality, as we said earlier, just maybe to see out a game, or, you know, like, they were very, you look at the Bray game and you can nearly a carbon copy of the Longford game, you know, just that bit of inexperience, maybe not clinical enough to kill the game off, but definitely encouraging signs from Wexford. But as I said, I'm going to have to go with Galway.
Yeah, I think Galway win it, but I don't think it'll be comfortable. I think Wexford will make it tough for them. And
No. I think you're talking maybe a 2-1 or you know, an odd goal in it, like, you know. But Wexford could turn up on the night. They'll be very, very frustrated with their last couple of performances to score and say equalise against Longford, score first against Bray, and not pick up any points. You know, like, had they picked up a point of either of them games, you know, they'd be up closer towards Galway. Like, for the quality they have, to see them second from bottom, money at loan below them, like, you know, it's probably a bit disheartening for them. So now is their chance to, you know, rack up a few more points, and I'm not saying they'll hit a playoff spot, you know, but at least be a bit more encouraging when you look at the table at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's enough from our part-time co-host, part-time comedian Ethan Fitzpatrick for now. We're going to hear from the Wexford boss, Brian O'Sullivan. So we've been doing well the last couple of weeks in getting new faces and new voices onto the show, and I'm delighted to say we have another first-time guest joining us today, and it is Wexford FC manager Brian O'Sullivan. Brian, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much, Ciarán. I'm glad to be here, and anything I can do down the line, I'd be glad to help you.
Brilliant stuff. I know you listen the odd time, Brian. You've probably heard our discussions on Wexford so far this season. I think it's fair to say early on in the year we were quite positive about how your team had been performing. Really well organised, very, very competitive in most games, picking up points along the way. But I think it's fair to say in the last couple of weeks, late goals have really cost you. And again, you must have been absolutely delighted with the reaction you got from your players at the weekend. Obviously, that really disappointing result against UCD. But to take the game to Bray and to be within 10 minutes of taking 3 points against a team who are genuine title contenders this year, you must have been delighted with that reaction, aside from obviously the way the game ended.
Yeah, look, we were in terms of performance. Bray had a lot of possession. They had, I think they found it hard to break us down. I think then, look, it's probably a soft penalty that they got now, in as he got too tight to him in the box. But saying that, I don't think it was a penalty. The lad played for it. He went down, and I think when they scored that, it was the 86th minute. And we took tip off, and he got the ball back. And he went down the other end and scored. So we need to learn from mistakes like that. But in terms of the performance up to then, we were quite pleased with it. Just that last couple of minutes, you know, we should be putting ourselves in that position, losing the game 3-1.
Yeah, obviously it's quite a young side, so young players are going to make mistakes, and as you said, you just have to learn from them. Do you feel maybe the Longford result was a slight negative turning point in terms of your team were banging that game, and probably a little bit of naivety? They went up the field really chasing the 3 points that night. They could smell there was a chance for the 3 points against Longford, but at the same time they left the back door open, and Longford got those two late goals, and after that we know what happened against UCD, so probably just knocked a little bit of confidence out your side.
Yeah, look, it was. I thought we'd played quite well up in Longford, if I'm being honest with you. You know, look, I know you can say that we were chasing the game at 1-1, and we probably should have sat back. But even in saying that, the second goal that they got was just a long ball down the middle, and I think Dan went up for a header and he missed it. There was no one on the cover, and it was a good finish out of the boy. But I mean, for defensively, you should be heading that ball. You know, it shouldn't be bouncing there. That should be cut out. You win that header, if it probably finishes up 1-1 then on the night. But again, look, we don't seem to be learning from the mistakes, but I think it's time that we need to start learning from them. But look, we keep going on anyway.
Yeah, and you've got another tough assignment this weekend. You're away to Galway, who are obviously on a bit of a bounce with John Caulfield coming in, and they've picked up a few decent results under the new manager. No easy games in the division this year, is there?
No, there's not. Look, it's one we're looking forward to going up. Like, we go into every game, look, optimistic, I suppose. And, you know, we go in with a bit of a game plan. We do. We just give it our best and see how we get on. But no, we're certainly looking forward to going up. They've turned around under John. They have, to be fair to them. But look, I think it was always going to happen because they've got good players up there. You know, they've got a really, really good squad up there they have. So I think John's experience going in there, he will get the best out of them. And I think a lot of people are tipping him to get into the playoffs under John. It wouldn't surprise me if he got in there.
Yeah, and obviously there'll be a bit of respite for League of Ireland fans. There'll be a small number of fans allowed into the ground. So great to see that. And I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back to Ferry Carrad Park in a couple of weeks and seeing the familiar faces back in the ground.
No, look, it'd be nice, it would, yeah. But it's the same for everybody, you know, that with the fans not being allowed into the ground. And look, we wouldn't have a big fan base down in Wexford anyway. So it probably didn't play a major part in it for us. Like other teams, it would. But no, it'd be certainly good for the fans, the loyal fans that do go to the games, to be back in. And, you know, see one or two familiar faces. And hopefully they get back in and they enjoy the games.
Yeah, and obviously the club off the field are trying to build that fan base. And fair play to them. I know they've given free season tickets out for next season for essential workers and nurses and the like. So that was really, really good to see. And hopefully other clubs might follow suit on that. Obviously, one player that Wexford fans will be looking forward to welcoming him back to Ferry Carrig in a couple of weeks will be Jack Doherty, who's re-signed from Longford recently. And he's added that little bit of experience and that little bit of creativity up the final end of the pitch.
Yeah, Jack. Look, Jack came back to us. He did. He obviously Longford took him off us last year, but he's come back to us. I think the travelling got too much. They trained facilities up in Dublin. They were in Lakeslip, and I think they went over further over Donnycarney, the north side, Colchester, around that area. You know, and it just probably added an extra hour and a half on his journey either way up. So it probably just became too much on the lad. And look, he's come back to us. He's done really well. Jack has. You know, he's a good player, and it was a welcome addition back. It was, because we picked up serious injuries and we've lost players along the way, you know. And look, he's helping all the young lads, and he's been really good around the place, he has. So no, Jack is a good lad, he's a good professional.
Yeah, and unfortunately you did lose a little bit of experience recently as well. Kaleem Simon, another ex-Longford man, he was doing well this season for Wexford, a couple of goals, and a strange move down to a very low level in England. Were you disappointed to lose Kaleem?
Yeah, look, we were lucky. He came to us late on. It was when we came back, and I think there was about 2 weeks left of pre-season, or a week left, and he just said he was going over on a trial over to Welland, and he came back and he said, look, he's going to be signing. So we had no real time to replace him. Like, you have the Wexford League, Leicester Senior Leagues, they were still on, so we couldn't really replace him. We couldn't. So clean was a loss, you know, and we lost Conor English. We played up in Athlone the first night, and Conor got a ball in the face. He got concussed, and he's still out, and it looks like he's going to be out for the season over, because it's a real bad concussion he got. So that's another one. Then we signed Ola, and there's issues there with Ola. So, you know, we're another body down, and then we picked one or two injuries up with Carmanan along the way. So we've just keep constantly losing bodies. We do. We were playing a game every 4 days. You know, we played 8 games. We played 6 away from home every 4 days. Like, madness schedule it was. Like, we work off a tight squad as it is at the best of times. So we're just losing players left, right, and centre. And we went up to UCD the night we went up there. You know, like, we trained on the Wednesday night. And I don't think we had many at the training because they were all in with Nigel, the physio, and we were patching lads up in UCD. And look what happened. It shouldn't have happened. It's inexcusable. I'm sorry to the fans for what happened. But we lads out there were carrying hamstrings, groins, ankles, everything out there. It's just absolute madness, the schedule that we went through. Look, it's quieting down now for a little bit, so we'll welcome that. But, yeah, look, it's been tough for us.
Yeah, even from a supporter's view, it's nearly been hard to keep up at times where the next game is coming. You've got Monday, Friday schedules there at times, and very, very demanding on semi-professional sides, and particularly on amateur sides like Wexford. Brian, I don't know whether you feel maybe the playoffs are still a possibility for your side, but if they're not, I suppose the message to the players is you can have a major say on who might go out with the division this year. It's so tight up at the top. It's really exciting from a neutral's point of view, and I'm sure you'd like Wexford to play a role in that one way or another.
No, look, it is. It's extremely tight up there, but for us now, it's out of reach now. It is, you know, we just need to get back, pick up points up and get back enjoying playing games again. We do. Look, what I'd say for the players' point of view is, it has been a positive this year for us. We have changed the culture up around the club. All the lads we've brought in, they are good lads. They work hard. We do. We lack experience, we do, but... you know, look, we have slightly improved, and next year then we go again, and we try to build on it. But look, we keep at it. We will, and we probably need a little bit better look along the way as well of misfortunes that we have. But look, yeah, it is, like, we could have a say in it towards the end, but look, we won't be saying one way or another who we want to win or not. We're just going out trying to pick points up as we go along.
Yeah, I think your final game of the season might be at home to Longford. So if you want to just have an off night that night, that's more than fine with us here at BTSHQ. But Brian, been absolutely brilliant speaking to you. Thanks very much for joining us on the show, and keep plugging away for the rest of the season.
Fair play. Thanks very much, Ciarán. Take care.
Right, it's starting to become a bit of a lost cause, Fitzy. We're trying to raise a few pounds for charity this year, but we are on a dire run at the moment. Hopefully you can be the lucky charm this week. Have you got a charity bet for us? Sponsored by bar1racing.com, as always. They give us a fiver each to spend on the show. We're trying to raise a few pounds for autism services in Dundalk and for Pieta House as well.
Yeah, so I'll probably pick a few easy ones here. I'm going to go for Dundalk to beat Cork. Obviously, that game might go ahead, though.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a Waterford Rovers draw.
Okay.
Harps to beat Shells. You're saying already.
Yeah, it's gone already. It's gone already.
And I think I'll go with UCD to beat Drogheda.
Okay, I'll get the odds priced up on that, but I'd say Barrow will gladly enhance that. I don't think that'll be landing. I haven't prepared anything this week, so I'm just going to take a look at the fixtures here. I'm going to go for... I don't like doing draws, so I'm going to shy away from that. I'm probably going to have to look towards the first division. No, I'll throw Shells in there. I'll go for Shells. I will go for Drogheda, Galway, and I'll throw Sligo in there, an old fourfold this week.
Yeah, mine doesn't look too bad now because you've gone the opposite to me, so I might have a good chance.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like throwing draws into their old ackers, but it's never been one for me. I like either win or lose. So that's our charity bets this week. Hopefully we can raise a few pounds for charity. Before we go, a little brief chat on Europe. I know we touched on it already, but big week for Rovers and for Dundalk. From a Rovers point of view, it's a dream draw, obviously, without the fans. I'm not sure if you can really call it a dream draw, but a great occasion and great chance for their players to showcase their talents and for the league to showcase itself. But from a Dundalk perspective, real pressure on Dundalk. They're going to Andorra. They're 1-3 favourites for the game. That's probably the shortest price any Irish team's ever been in Europe, so they're expected to progress. And if they win this one, they're out to Moldova almost straight away. But that's a brilliant, two brilliant draws to them, a real chance to get to the playoffs at least.
Yeah, definitely. Huge chance for Dundalk here. Be interesting to see now what team they put out. I know was it Hooven, there was a bit of an injury doubt on him. He wasn't in there for the Shells game. I think Filippo's done well since he came in. A lot of negative feedback before a ball was even kicked. And look, you're talking if he could get the win in Andorra here, which they really should. And then, as you said, they have another good chance of kicking on in Europe, like could be a cult hero.
Yeah, I think this is what Dundalk's season is going to be judged on now, and whether he gets the job long term, because the league is gone. An FAI Cup would be great, obviously, but Europe is where the money is, and that's what Peak Six are here for.
Yeah, definitely. This is what's going to define if he's going to be there next year or not. But look, if they could get two wins in their next two European games, and as you say, get into that playoff round, it's huge investment for them. And I think you'll see a lot of fans, Dundalk fans, will be coming back on board. Football's very ruthless, you know. I know Vinny was in the club for years and everything, but like you're gonna follow success, and if Filippo can bring that success, I don't think anyone's gonna have any issues with it.
And just on Shamrock Rovers, do you give them any chance against AC Milan?
No. No. Look, they might look. It's a nice spectacle. Obviously, it would have been a lot nicer. Fans are allowed into the ground, so as you said there, I don't really know if it is a big glamour tie because there'll be no crowd, and you know, but I don't want to be going in too hard on people tonight, but I know the Rovers fans over the last couple of years in Europe, they don't really seem to get behind the League of Ireland family, I suppose. So I don't know if many people would be hoping that Rovers get a win. Obviously it'd be great for the league. Look, I'd like to just see a good game of ball. Maybe, as I said, if a bounce of a ball goes their way, the rub of the green, you know, maybe a penalty, something like that, that they might have a chance. But like, if AC Milan win 2-3-0, you're not really going to be at panic stations, you know. It's still a great achievement for them Rovers players.
Well, I'm going to be the bigger co-host, and I'm going to wish both sides every bit of luck in the Europa League this week.
Jeez, don't get me wrong. I hope they both do well. Jeez, I'm just saying, from a League of Ireland point of view, I don't think too many will be getting behind Shamrock Rovers for this one.
Yeah, look, that's where we'll leave it this week, Fitz. You've been full value as always. Really enjoyed it.
I think I've rustled a few feathers this week anyway, I'll probably hide for a week or two now.
Very, very good. Fitz, thanks for joining us. Thanks to our four guests. Folks, as ever, we'd really love to see as many of you subscribing as possible, because when you subscribe on your favourite podcast outlet, you get instant access to the new episodes the moment they're uploaded. You don't have to wait for the links to go up on our social and the like of that. But do check us out on social media as well for updates on the show. And as ever, if you can give our show a share when it comes out, that would be really, really appreciated, trying to spread the word of the League of Ireland far and wide in the few weeks of this season that are left. And those of you lucky enough to get to a game this week, enjoy it, and hopefully we'll have bigger crowds back soon. Fitz, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Burke. Very enjoyable. Anyone wants to vote for me in that poll now as well, get the results up a bit higher maybe. But great to be back on. Wish you all the success in the podcast in the going future, and hopefully we have a few more discussions.
Yep, 100%. Folks, thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again next week.